Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Congratulations to the Hansen family again. Yes, let's. It's exciting to think about what God has in store for you and your kids. I was talking to Jessica a few weeks ago, talking about getting prepared for this, and I asked her a question. I asked her if she remembers ever a game show where they ask contestants to choose between the prizes that are behind closed doors. Does anybody remember that game show? Yes. It was called Let's Make a Deal. In this game show, the final segment of each episode has a contestant making a choice. They have to pick between the three doors in the hopes of unlocking one that reveals a new car, tons of cash, or some exotic dream vacation. The contestants gamble sometimes pays off handsomely. And other times, it results in the dreaded disappointment of a less than exciting consolation prize. Life can sometimes feel like a game show, with games of chance awaiting us at every turn. Do you choose door number one, door number two, door number three? Do you look for another job, or do you take the job and move to Yellowknife? Do you accept the marriage proposal, or do you break up, or do you say, I'm not ready for that yet? Do you have a child? Do you have a third child? Or do you have a fifth child? Do you go back to school? Do you change careers? Do you buy a bigger home? Or do you downsize? Do you take the experimental treatment that may kill you? Or do you take your chances without it, come what may? In life, not every decision is the same, of course. Some are small and inconsequential, while others are absolutely overwhelming. Some decisions are easily made, the path perfectly obvious, the outcome crystal clear. We leap before we even look. We sign on the dotted line without a second thought. For other decisions, the stakes are so high, or the way forward is so unclear, that we may be frozen in place by doubt, by uncertainty, by fear. Sometimes we might even know what we should do, but we don't want to do it because it's the harder way. There are times in each and every one of our lives when we simply do not know what to do. We come to a crossroads and really have no idea which way to turn. What we do in such moments can vary for each and every one of us. And even across our own lifetime, we might make different choices, make different decisions based on where we are in life. With the years, we grow more or less tolerant of risk or rely on the wisdom we have gained through life. Discernment for me is not so much to make a decision, but to undertake a decision-making process. One that calls us to listen, not only to the thoughts in our minds, but to God's plan for us. I think that what we're seeking in those moments, when we feel like we don't know what to do, it's clarity. The clarity that ultimately aligns with what we, at the deepest level, know to be true, even if it defies our expectations. I would say that discernment requires humility, that it follows a path paved with questions and doubts, but also a path of openness to possibilities not yet considered, and to visions not yet fully dreamt. What, in the end, makes all the difference is the process of deciding. The discernment that leads us to a chosen direction, followed by the commitment to that path, just to see where it might lead. How do you go about making decisions or choices in your life? What, if any, spiritual steps do you take in seeking to make those choices? Who do you rely on for support, for wisdom, This morning, I want to share with you how Jess, for those who don't know, Jess is my wife, and I have made at least two major life decisions together in the past 9 years. The first one was our decision to spend 2 years living in Beijing, China. And the second one, our most recent one, was our move here to Yellowknife. In both occasions, we engaged in a decision process, with the goal of discerning God's plan and will for our family. Both processes were similar but uniquely different. Our first process seemed to be a bit easier than the second, although both very emotionally charged. When we decided to move to Beijing, we were a newly married couple, and we both wanted to go and serve God outside our comfort zone. We had had conversations about it. We were both on the same page. We spent time together, praying and asking God to open and shut doors for us and lead us wherever He wanted us to be. We talked to our families, and we had them praying for us. We talked to our friends and had them encouraging us and praying for us as we kept on trying to draw closer and closer to God. Our hearts and minds were fixed and wanted to go somewhere in South America. For those of you who don't know, I speak Spanish. So going to South America made sense. I could translate, I could communicate, and Jess could learn some Spanish. But ultimately, we searched for a year for an opportunity, but found nothing. There were some options, but none of them seemed like the right fit. I remember one of the options was, we contacted a company and they said, just buy your ticket, come down to the country, and we'll help you find a job. It didn't seem right or fitting for Jess and I to do that. So we kept looking to no avail. We got to the point where we were tired of looking and we felt like maybe God didn't want us to go anywhere. I mean, we had been praying for Him to open and close doors. And maybe He was doing just that. We were going to give up on the whole idea of going away somewhere. And instead, we began talking about starting our family. We have become comfortable with the change, and we accepted it. But then, out of the blue, I got a call. And I remember, it was a Wednesday evening. I got a call from a man named Doug. He was the headmaster of the Canadian International School in Beijing. He proceeded to tell me he had gotten my resume from one of his colleagues, and he asked if I was interested in coming to China. Jess and I were obviously very surprised. We were surprised because we hadn't been looking to go to China at all. During our conversation with Doug, I told him that I would have to talk about it with Jess, my wife. I told him I would never go anywhere without her. He asked me, what does she do? And I told him, she just finished OCAD, because in an art school in Toronto. She's an artist. And then he said, well, we can find a job for her too then, but no problem. I remember him saying, why don't you guys just talk it over, and if you have any questions, we can connect again tomorrow. So we arranged a time, and this time both Jess and I spoke to him. We had a long conversation because we had a long list of questions. He went through it with us. He really put us both at peace with it all. He answered every single question. He clarified everything. We then scheduled an official interview for me for the job on the Friday. And on the Sunday, we got an offer of employment. 6 weeks later, we had packed all our earthly possessions, taken over my own room, my old room in my parents' condo, and we were off to China. During those 6 weeks, though, leading for us to leave, we felt God at work. It was effortless how quickly things worked out. My old job at Humber approved my leave of absence within days. Then we had to get all the medical paperwork done, and we were shocked. We did all the paperwork and lab work in less than an hour. We were so surprised how smoothly things were going, we knew and felt it was God at work. The time frame also lined up with the end of our lease for our condo. We sold our car within those few weeks. Everything really was easy and smooth. It was confirmation for us both that God was at work and that we were heading in the right direction. Our decision to come to Yellowknife was a little bit more complicated. I would say it wasn't as easy or as clear as us moving to Beijing. I'll start by saying that I had been looking for a new job for about 2 years. I felt a tension at my workplace for a long time, and I was hitting a roadblock after roadblock for any progression in my field. It seemed that for every application I sent looking for a new job, nothing came from it. And so the story of our decision-making process all started with a forwarded email for a job posting in Yellowknife. I remember looking it over and thinking it sounded quite interesting, but there was no way we were going to move across the country with two young children and another one on the way, just for a job. So I just let it go. A week or so later, not sure why, we were chatting about jobs, Jess and I, and I remember the Yellowknife job, and I mentioned it to Jess, and she was like, well, why didn't you talk about it with me? Why didn't you apply? She said, I would have moved to Yellowknife. She said that it sounded interesting enough for us to have a conversation about it and decide together what we should do. I remember thinking there was no way, and I said, I think the deadline passed, and I just didn't think it was for us. I'm sorry. I didn't bring it up. And so we left it at that. But funny enough, I couldn't get it out of my head. So I went searching for that email again the next day. And to my surprise, the deadline hadn't passed. So we decided together that we would send an application and then see what happened. Like countless other applications I had filled out, I didn't expect anything of it. And a month went by, and nothing. I didn't think of it at all. But then I got a call. I got a call for a request for an interview. By this time, we were starting to get nervous. Jess started to feel afraid of what might it all mean. She was like, no, we can't move to Yellowknife. I remember her saying she didn't think it would ever happen. I also remember feeling like it was all too much. We had just gotten our offer to buy a new home in Toronto. I was in the middle of my studies at Tyndale. I had just been approved as a licensed lay minister in our church, Kingsview. It seemed like there were so many good things happening for us that a move seemed weird and unexpected. Jess and I decided to ask our families to pray for us, and we went through the process. And as I went through the interviews, we shared with our friends and asked them for support and prayer. Jess was praying weekly with a few close friends. We looked for advice from those closest to us. We prayed together and individually, and I think this is where our experience was very different from our first decision-making process. Jess and I seem to be at opposite ends. We were not at all on the same page. We began to experience friction and disconnect from each other and from God at times. But we carried on with the process. The first interview went great. Had a second meeting to clarify things and ask questions. All the questions that Jess and I had come up with. And then a week later, I had an offer on employment. We had to decide if I would take it or not. We connected again with our families, and it just seemed like we couldn't all agree on what to do. Because of our first experience, Jess and I came up with a list of things that we wanted to see happen as confirmation that was indeed where God wanted us to go and be. From our list, it seemed like everything, to a certain degree, was met and confirmed. The one item that was not was the opportunity I have to take 9 months off after the birth of our children. This was hard for us. This was hard for Jess to give up. I had been home with both Zeke and Eden when they were born, and Jess was sad I wasn't going to have that time with our next son, and nervous to be doing it alone. But we kept moving forward. I requested another leave of absence from my job in Toronto. Our condo ended up not being sold. And what we thought was a done deal for buying a new home was not. Our families didn't seem too happy or 100% sure we should do either. We should be going either, but they were supportive. The hardest part was that Jess and I weren't agreeing on things. We still didn't know what would happen with my schooling or what life would look like for us after the birth of our baby boy. It seemed like there was just a lot of things up in the air, and it wasn't easy. But by this point, to me, it was clear where God wanted us. We were supposed to move to Yellowknife, but it wasn't clear for Jess. We had never moved forward with anything before without both of us being completely sure. So we weren't sure what to do, but we also had a deadline. We were getting different feelings or prompts. How would we decide which way to go? I began to wonder if I wasn't hearing or feeling God's leading and instead was being fooled by my own desires. It was my dream job, so maybe I had been blind to other things. Maybe I wasn't seeing the whole picture. I remember starting to question my motives and decision-making process and abilities. How could I move forward without just being on board? I even began to think that it was all wrong. I began to be afraid of moving. I began to be afraid that I would regret it. And I began to be afraid that Jess would resent me. Again, to top it all off, this was June. And if everybody knows about June in Toronto, it was hot. And Jess was 5 months pregnant. She was uncomfortable. And all of it together made for a huge emotional roller coaster. Jessica was feeling flooded by fear. Fear of moving across the country with three small children. Fear of being alone as I would be at work and she would be home with kids and we didn't know anybody here. Fear we were making a mistake. For the job, they wanted me to start working for them right away. But we couldn't fully commit to moving to Yellowknife. We just weren't on the same page and our baby was coming in October. I was honest with Jim, the program head here at Aurora College. And to my surprise, he agreed and understood our situation and worked out a special contract that would allow me to work remotely from August to December and then move to Yellowknife in January. This way, our baby could be born in Toronto and Jessica could keep her prenatal care team. Jim even managed to work things out so that I could get 6 weeks off after Ella was born to help with Jessica's recovery. I think it was at this point that we both agreed to move, and I began working for Aurora College on August 4th of 2020. At this point, Jess was still not happy about moving. I had many fears and apprehensions, but she did feel that God was leading us this way. I'm sharing all this with you today so that you might see how Jess and I have come to make big decisions in our lives and that you might be encouraged to do so similarly. I also share that it hasn't always been an easy process, but when you fully rely on God and trust Him in the discerning process, He not only leads you, but He takes care of you and meets your needs. We can honestly say that now, looking back. So how can we discern our next steps through our decision-making process? Firstly, we need to ask God for wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If you need wisdom, ask your generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." It's interesting. I don't think it's coincidental that James includes this section about asking God for wisdom immediately following a section that he's written about problems, the trials, the tests that will come into our lives. Because those are the situations when we often need wisdom. James says, if you need wisdom, ask your generous God. That is important because too often God is not the first one we turn to for guidance. Jess and I were fortunate enough to have friends and family in our lives who we can turn to wisdom and words of encouragement. Yet, individually and together, we go to God for guidance. We seek Him through prayer and submit to His will, even when it's hard. Second, you have to believe God will guide you. Going back to James 1:5, if you need wisdom, our generous God, He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. You might want to circle those words, our generous God. Is that the way you see God? As a God who is good? As a God who gives generously? If you don't, then you need to. Because the very next verse says, when you ask God, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. And then he follows by saying, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. When I began to wonder if I wasn't hearing or feeling God leading me, or when I started to question my motives and decision-making abilities, fear began to take over me. I was afraid of moving. I was afraid that I would regret it. I was afraid that Jess would resent me. But I didn't need to be afraid. I needed not to waver. I needed to fully trust that God was in control. I wanted to know God's will for our lives. And I was mostly afraid of making a mistake. A lot of us, and not all of us, want to know God's will for our lives. That might even be what brought you to church today. You want to know God's will for your life, and you want to do it. But many of us think that God's will is hidden and mysterious, and you can never be sure of it. But that's not the case. That's not what the Bible teaches us. Even if we make a mistake in our discerning or of our next steps through a decision-making process, the Bible is filled with stories of people who made really, really bad choices. But they decided to repent and go back to God. And God used their life in mighty, mighty ways. Abraham, who the Bible calls the father of our faith, he lied about his relationship with Sarah, not once, but twice, saying she was his sister instead of his wife, in order to save his life. David committed adultery and murder, and the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. Peter denied even knowing Jesus, not once, but three times. Jesus made sure to let him know he was forgiven. And when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus' followers, Peter preached for the first time, and 3,000 people came to faith. According to the Bible, the difference between the righteous and the wicked is not that they don't stumble, but it's the difference in what they do when they fall. Proverbs 24:16 says, though the righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, but the wicked are brought down by calamity. Jess and I were almost brought down by calamity. We let fear creep in. When it comes to the major decisions in our lives, the fear of making a mistake creeps in and influences our discerning process. Believing the lie that you have to be perfect and can't make mistakes puts pressure on ourselves, puts pressure on yourself to make the right decision. Those of us that go through life looking for signs, or we look at our major decisions as if there's only one way to go, can find ourselves very frustrated with God. We can find ourselves making some very poor decisions because God hasn't promised a detailed plan for our life. He has promised a plan. He has promised direction. He hasn't promised to tell you whether to buy a green car or a blue car, or necessarily even whether to buy a car at all. Let me ask you to think about something. Have you ever stopped to think about that God maybe is less concerned with which house you live in than He is on how you live in that house? Let us believe that God will guide us and not let the fear of making a mistake creep into our decision-making process. Third and lastly, We need to commit to doing what God says. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do it. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. That's James 1:22. So let's stop waiting for a sign and start looking for scripture. There's always people that live their lives looking for signs. Like a guy who was on his way to work one morning, and he started having a craving for a donut. He knew there was a donut shop right on his way to work. He wouldn't have to alter his route at all. He knew he was going to go right past it. But he was also the guy who was trying to watch his weight, watch his sugar levels. So he decided to pray. He said, God, if it's your will for me to have a donut this morning, I'm asking you, let there be a parking spot right in front of that donut shop. And you know what? There was a parking spot in front of that, right in front. But he found that spot on his fourth time around the block. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, do you know where to start? You start in his word. Jess and I had an opportunity to seek him constantly in our first decision-making process. We were immersed in scripture. We were praying, we were hungry for more, and it showed. In our second process, I think the busyness of life with two kids under three and all the things that go along with our everyday life, we were more distracted and not so in tune with God's word for us. Not that we didn't want to be, I think we just weren't as focused or intentional. God's will is not elusive, it's not mysterious, it's not hidden. You and I can know it. If you want to know God's will, then stop waiting for a sign and start looking through the scripture. Most of what we need to know from God is written in black and white, and in some Bibles, in red. And what we do is we ignore what God has said in black and white until we're facing a big decision. And then we come to him and say, God, I need a sign. I need direction. Why isn't God speaking to me? We try to involve God at that point. But we have to start now. Start looking into God's word. Let's imagine you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do in a situation. For instance, you're going to buy a new car or a house. It's something that is going to require you to take a loan. So you're asking God, what do I do in this situation? Should I buy this car or this house? Lord, am I stretching too far? Is this wise? Is it unwise? You're seeking the Lord's guidance. If you want to know what God has to say about something, the Bible is the first place to go. It's the foundation for it all. Let me encourage you. If you're not in a small group, join a small group. It's an opportunity to study God's word with others. If you're not reading God's word, pick up a reading plan. Download the Bible app. Start reading. And pray constantly. Pray with others. Pray for others. Just pray and converse with your Father. Seek him through prayer. It's hard to discern and make decisions when you don't know what God has already said or told you in his word, and when you're not immersed in seeking him. The bottom line for you when it comes to God's will is what it says in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. What that verse and so many others will tell you is that God doesn't just want to give you advice. He wants to be your guide, and in a very personal way. The key word is trust. You will face a lot of decisions in life, but the most important decision you can make is to trust God. Jess and I decided to trust God when we took the steps to move here to Yellowknife. We prayed a lot about the fears we had, and our gracious and generous God came through for us in every way. God gave Jessica the strength and peace to be home with the kids while I went to work. God quickly provided us with a community who have been very supportive of us and have become very close. And even though it took over 6 months, God provided a perfect home for our family. God has helped us settle into our new city. The job is awesome and exciting. It really is my dream job. But most importantly for me is that we have grown closer as a family to God through our move. We can now have breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. I don't get to miss some of the family time that I was missing back in Toronto. Jessica and the kids are happy and excited about life here in the north. We're learning a lot and growing a lot. We have been truly blessed by our gracious Father, even after our doubt and fear. I know our gracious and loving Father wants to bless you too. Seek Him through prayer. Seek Him through His Word. Seek Him in your decision-making process. Trust Him, and He will make His will known to you, and you will be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.